My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to be studying today, and some teachings today. We're going to be dealing with part two of the mysteries, and we're going to be dealing with the mystery of the body of Christ, the mystery of the body of Christ. Now, you need to get your Bibles out and get you some papers and pencils so you can write some verses down. I think this is going to be interesting. Because the body of Christ is the church that all believers belong to. You see, this was not even heard of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Peter, James, and John knew nothing about the body of Christ. The Old Testament never prophesied. They prophesied everything in the Old Testament about Jesus, but they never knew anything about the body of Christ. And this is totally a new concept, but this is what is for today. If you're going to be going to heaven today, when you die or when God comes, you're going to have to be a member of the body of Christ. It's tremendously important. Let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians. Colossians in the New Testament. You start off with Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and then Colossians. Colossians, and we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start with Colossians chapter 1, verses 18. Colossians 1, 18. And it says, "And he is the head of the body of Christ." He's talking about Jesus. "And he is the head of the body of Christ, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through his blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him." You see, he died on that cross. To shed his blood. That's a part of the gospel, that he died on that cross to pay for our sins. And in doing so, he reconciled us all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And then it talks about you and me. It says, "And you were at once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled us." No matter how bad we are or how we were, he can still reconcile us. He paid for our sins. Nobody's going to hell for sin. Sin has been paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Totally paid for. When we go and stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not the judgment, great white throne, if you went to the judgment, great white throne judgment, excuse me, you're not going to be judged for your sins. You're going to be judged because of you didn't believe the gospel. You didn't believe the gospel. But because he had paid for our sins, all we have to do is believe the gospel to allow that God to take over in our lives and to give us eternal life. It says, "In the body of his flesh, through his death, to present you holy." Now, listen to this, really careful. Because he died on that cross to pay for our sins, he can present us holy, unblameable, unreproachable in his sight. Think about that. You could be a drug dealer. You could be hooked on drugs. You could be an alcoholic. You could be a liar, a thief. You could be all these things. But he paid for those sins. Totally. And all you have to do is believe that he died for your sins and he paid for your sins and that he was buried and he rose again. You believe that, you can stand before God no matter what your past is, and you're unblameable and you're holy and unreprovable in his sight. And what it means by this is that if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature under the heavens, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. You see, Our salvation is based on believing the gospel. And as soon as you believe the gospel, you're saved, and He gives you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives in you. It's Christ in you. Because see, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are all one. And you can truly say, I have Jesus walking with me every day. And He will be. And He is. Till the day that you die. But you have to believe the gospel. Because the only way you can be saved is to believe the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. Look at verse 24. It says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. This is Paul speaking. And have filled up which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh of His body, for His body's sake. That's us, which is the church. See, Paul suffered tremendously for us. But it was for our sake that he did, so he'd get the gospel out. Of which Paul says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. This mystery of the body of Christ. The mystery of the body of Christ had been made manifest to us this day. That He's going to call out a whole new people. You see, for 2,000 years, He dealt directly with the Jews. And there were very few Gentiles. Now, for this last 2,000 years, He has dealt primarily with Gentiles. Very few Jews. Very few Jews. Think about it. There's probably hundreds of where the Jews have been worshiping, and they still have not believed in Jesus to this very day. They have not believed in Jesus. The Jews haven't. Very few have. Let's look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We're going to go back to the left. We're going to go through Ephesians and Galatians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then we'll be at Romans. To go to the left in the Bible. To Romans. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 11. Now we're talking about the body of Christ. And we're going to see that the leader of this, that who is an apostle to the body of Christ, it says on verses 13, Paul's writing this, and he says, for I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, and I magnify my office. You see, the churches today have turned totally away from Paul's writings because they've been blinded by Satan. You see, all the other, Jesus had 12 apostles. Why couldn't they have gone to the Gentiles? And they never did. They never had a ministry with the Gentiles. Peter came to one time, Paul, meaning the Lord told Peter to go to Cornelius. And he was a Roman a centurion. And he went to them. And he didn't want to go. And he took other Jews with him. He didn't want to go by himself. You see, a Jew would never, ever walk into a home of a Gentile. They wouldn't even talk to him. They were totally, totally segregated from the Jewish economy, the Gentiles were. But he went there because God wanted him to, because he was a righteous man and he wanted to know about God. And so he went and taught him that Jesus was the Messiah. And when he did that, the second he did that, he was still preaching, and he told him Jesus is the Messiah. And he believed right there. He believed and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Jews that were with him and also Peter was tremendously astonished. It doesn't work that way for Jews. You see, the Jews had to repent of their sins first. Then they had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah or believe in Jesus. Then they had to be baptized. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And God was trying to show him that Gentiles are different. They are saved by just believing. No other works. And see, the economy of the Jews was they had all the law. They had temple worship. They had to bring sacrifices to the temple once a year. They had to meet on a certain day, the Sabbath. But you see, this church that we're talking about, the body of Christ, is totally, totally different. And that's why God chose Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. And he separated him totally from the 12. And he came down and spent 3 years with him, teaching him these things that we're talking about, because he was a Jew of the Jews. It probably took him 2.5 years to get Judaism out of him, because there's no Judaism in the body of Christ. Our salvation is only based on one thing, and that's believing the gospel, and God will take it from there. And you see, the average human being can't understand it. They think, well, we have to do something for our salvation. But that's totally wrong. Because when Christ died on that cross, he said it is finished. He has paid the price for our salvation. He did. We didn't do nothing. All he asked us to do is to believe that he did die. Believe the gospel, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. And that's why this verse is important, because we see now that he didn't use Peter, James, and John and his disciples to lead this church. He used Paul. Only Paul. And Paul pointed only to the gospel for our salvation. He went through hell because of it. I mean, he was beaten horribly. 5 times he was beaten with the cat of nine tails for the body of Christ. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned to death and God raised him back up. He was shipwrecked. He was just constantly having problems, being cold and hungry and being scared from robbers and thieves. And then he was thrown in prisons constantly. All because he preached the gospel. And finally, the only way they could shut him up was to cut his head off. Paul was the man, the greatest man that walked on this earth other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But the people have totally, the churches today have turned their back on the gospel and on Paul's teachings. And it's to their detriment. There's no doubt about that. They've been blinded by Satan. Blinded by Satan. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go back to the left. No, back to the right, sorry. Back to the right to 1 Corinthians and verses 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And this is what happens to you the second that you believe the gospel. You truly believe it in your heart for your salvation. Right off the bat, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you also are baptized into the body of Christ. I mean, this isn't a water baptism, this is spiritual. This is a spiritual baptism but when you believe, that's all you have to do is believe the gospel. You become a part of this body of Christ. And we're going to read about it here in 13. It says, for by one Spirit, there's only one Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, you are all, not just part of us, Everybody who believes the gospel, you're baptized into one body. Whether you be a Jew or if you're a Greek, it says, or you're bond or free, or if you're a slave or you're a free man, have been all made to drink into one spirit. We're all are filled with this spirit, which is spirit, is the Holy Spirit. It is also, we are filled with Christ, and because the Holy Spirit and Christ and the Father are all one. And they all make up God. We're filled with God. And He totally baptizes us, engulfs us, totally engulfs us with the Holy Spirit, and we become a part of the member of this body of Christ that we're talking about. This is beyond our imagination. Beyond our imagination. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We go to 1 Corinthians, and we go to 2 Corinthians. We go to Galatians, and we go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 22. Verses 22. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22. And it says, He hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things. He's talking about Jesus. Over all things to the church, which is His body, and the fullness of Him that fulfilleth all in all. You see, this is Christ's church. It was Jesus. It was Jesus who is the head of this church. And it's Jesus that gives us, that gave us, who paid for our sins, who died on the cross for us, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead. It was Jesus who paid for the sins of the world, and all He asks us to do is to believe that. Now let's go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans. Back to the left through 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Go back to Romans. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verses 11. Romans chapter 8. Verses 11. And it says this, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," you see, and it does. You see, if you believe the gospel, what does it say? In Ephesians chapter 1:13, it says that as soon as we believe the gospel, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's sealed in us, totally sealed in us. And if you believe, but you got to believe it. I mean, you can't just think about it. You have to believe the gospel, and He seals us with the Holy Spirit. And now we're saying that He's telling us what that Spirit is. He says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," and if you believe the gospel, it does, "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwell in you." You see, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now is sealed in us. Is sealed in you. And He will raise up your body when you, at the resurrection, you know, when you die, your soul and spirit will go to be with the Lord. Automatically. It can't go anyplace else because you belong to the body of Christ. You're a part of His body. But when the resurrection comes, this same Spirit that raised Christ will raise you from the dead also. What a wonderful thing that God has provided for us. We have just, no wonder the Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Because there's nothing that we have to be afraid of. Because we have God walking with us each and every day. He is living in us, and that's why we're called the body of Christ. We're part of Him, and He's part of us. And so, if you have problems in your life, this Holy Spirit, this Jesus that's living in you, He will turn you and help you walk away from the worst problems you may ever ran into. From drug addiction, from alcohol addiction, from pornography, from being a liar and a thief, for just being a lousy person. He wants you just like you are. Because he's already, you see, the world gets hung up on sin. It's horrible. We know it is. Christ had to die to pay for those sins. But He did. But you see, sin isn't the question anymore. It isn't the question anymore as far as God is concerned. Not for those who believe the gospel. Because He paid for those sins. The question now isn't the sin. The question is that because He is in us and He can turn us away from that sin. And if we make a mistake, it's already paid for. It doesn't give us license to sin because we know it's paid for. Because we won't want to sin when you have that Holy Spirit in you. I found right away when I believed the gospel that He gave me the Holy Spirit, all my eyes was opened up that I could see. I could spend hours upon hours every day studying the Word of God. 10-15 hours a day and never even think about it. And you can see things you never could see before. And when you even come close to sin, He points it out for you. And you'd say, no, that isn't me anymore. And when you start to do something that's wrong, He's there to tell you no. He's just like having your mother in you. Don't do that. He does. That's the way He works. Many times I start to say something, then He comes into me and says, no, we can do that a different way. We can do that a different way. You can be a tremendously better person. Sure, we'll fall and make mistakes, but we're His child. He picks us up and brings us back and points us in the right direction. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and it's just tremendous. We see that when we, not only do we have the Spirit in us, if you look at verses 14, it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. We're the body of Christ, and now we're sons of God. And you go down to 16, it says, the Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, we are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about that. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Colossians. We go to Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And let's look at chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, let's look at verses 15. This is who Jesus is. We know that Jesus was the Son of God. And He took on flesh, you see. And He had to take on flesh because He had to die, because the Son of God can't die. And that flesh that He took on, a human being, was called Jesus. And so Jesus and the Son of God are the same people. But we called Him Jesus because that was His bodily. That's what He was when He walked on this earth. It says, we're talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's the Son of God in Him. For by Him, Jesus, were all things created and that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, whether it be dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Think about that. Everything that was created on this world was created by Jesus and by Him and for Him. And what does it say? We're co-heirs with Christ. Look what we have. Look what we have, beloved, when we believe the gospel. We belong to this body of Christ, and we're a part of Him. We're co-heirs with Him. If the richest man in the world came to me and said, Al, I'll give you $1 billion if you'll turn away from the gospel. And I could smile at him and say this, sir, I said, that's a lot of money. But you see, that isn't worth one dirty penny compared to what God has in store for those who believe the gospel. We have a future that is beyond our dreams. It's just beyond our dreams. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9. 1 Corinthians, go back to the left, and we're going to look at chapter 2 and verse 9. What does it say? It says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath neither entered or ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. We can't even comprehend. We can't see it. We can't hear it. Our minds can't even comprehend what God has in store for us. It's just, we have no idea. It's just going to be so fantastic, it's beyond your imagination. We're going to get rid of these old bodies that we live in today. I mean, we're going to have a glorious body like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a member of the body of Christ because we believe the gospel. And now we can inherit all these things that God has in store for us. Everything. It is just tremendously wonderful what God has in store for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You would open the minds of every person that I've talked to today, that they could understand the gospel, that they would truly believe the gospel, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that they would live a life that would glorify You, and they would tell others about You each and every day, and that they would open the scriptures, and that You would open their minds that they could understand it. And when they go to churches, they find them a church that preaches the gospel, they can understand the pastor. I pray for their salvation, that they would come to the saving knowledge of the gospel. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.